But I found that kind of interesting. And so I wanted to share a sermon that I call, What Can I Do? What Can I Do? There was a fella that was going to hire someone, and he was talking to a friend of his, and he said, I need a fella that's got a strong back and a weak mind to work for me. And his friend said, what in the world would you need somebody with a strong back and a weak mind for? He says, well, I need him to have a strong back so he can do what I ask him. I need him to have a weak mind so he won't argue with me about it. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? We all have talents. We all have capabilities. But strong back, weak mind, I don't know. It'd be great to have a strong back and a strong mind, wouldn't it? Let me give you a fairly famous quote from someone fairly famous. Great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people. Eleanor Roosevelt said that. Kind of interesting. We need to be people who are willing, ready, and able to do whatever God calls upon us to do. Would you agree with that statement? We need to be willing, ready, and able to do whatever God calls on us to do. Now, there's one thing I want to stress as we begin this lesson. God never calls on us to do something without providing for us both the way and the means to do it. He has never once instructed us to walk on water. He has never once instructed us to fly like an eagle. God does not give us jobs to do without giving us both the way and the means to do the job. For instance, if God tells us to preach the gospel, He gives us not only the opportunities to do it, but He gives us a way and the means for us to do it. And I'm talking about any of us, all of us, every one of us. None of us are exempt from God's command to share His word with lost people. All of us are ministers. Men, women, teenagers, all of us are ministers. If you're a child of God, you are a minister of the gospel. Now, yes, the women are not going to be standing in the pulpits and preaching. The women are not going to be teaching in a mixed adult class. Obviously not. That it goes against other commands that the Lord has given. But every Christian has both opportunity and God-given ability to teach someone if they will do it. And so, as we begin this lesson, we need to recognize that God wants us to be ready, willing, and able to do whatever it is He has told us to do. In John 4, verse 35 and 36, do you not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. I look out over this group of people tonight, and granted, our numbers are small. Some have not been able to get here for one reason or another, and certainly the rain has an effect. But still, as I look out in this audience and I see this group of people, I see power. I see incredible potential. I see people who can, if we harness the power and the potential that is in this room today, we can accomplish incredible things for the glory of God. There's no doubt about that in my mind. But there is an important passage in James 4:17 that reveals our responsibility. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We have responsibility to do good. In fact, Paul says we need to be ready to do good to all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. Now, I know you want to do good. I want to do good. I was just talking with my family about that this afternoon, wanting to do good, wanting wanting to serve the Lord. We want to work for the Lord. And folks, here tonight, you guys are the cream of the crop. If there's a job to be done in this church, it's going to be you guys that do it. Now, I'm not trying in any way speak disparaging remarks about our Sunday morning attendance. I'm not trying to run down those that come only on Sunday morning. That is the choice they make for whatever reason, and it is not my place to sit in judgment on them. But I do know that many times the ones that hear here only on Sunday morning typically are not going to be here when we have work days. They're not typically going to be involved in gospel meetings or vacation Bible school programs or other activities that this church does. When we do a community outreach, Patrick, that's it, they're done. They already did that side. When they do community outreach and all that, that's finished. I didn't say that right. I'm thinking about taking up the cards now. Okay. But when we do community outreach, it's very hard to get so many of these folks involved that are here only on Sunday morning. So you guys are, to quote the phrase, the pick of the litter, the cream of the crop. You are the ones, our workforce here at Tanner. And so the question that is on my mind, and hopefully the question that is on your mind, is what can I do? Well, the first place to start is we have to take inventory. What have we got? What do we need? What can we do? What needs to be done? In Luke chapter 10, let me get over there. Luke chapter 10 and verse 2. Luke chapter 10 and verse 2. This is another variation on that statement in John 4. Therefore, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, some people read these two texts here from Luke 10 2 and John 4, 35 and 36, and conclude that the only thing Jesus is talking about is souls. And that is true in John 4 because it's the crowd coming from Sychar that he's referring to. Is this crowd is coming out to see if this is the man that was supposed to be the Messiah. They're just coming to see for themselves. So obviously Jesus is talking about souls. But brethren, it's not limited to saving lost men. As I said this morning, not only are we to seek and save the lost, but we are to help secure the saved. Help to serve and secure those that are saved, to help each other get to heaven. And so it's more than simply bringing them in, but it's also keeping them in. And to stick with that phrase, to keep them in the ship with the rest of us. And so we recognize that our number one goal is to help each other get to heaven and to help as many others find the Lord and get ready to go to heaven as we possibly can. Now, you know where this starts is with my relationship with God. It starts with our devotional life, our relationship with the Lord. In Psalm 143, verses 7 through 11, this is a psalm of David, and he makes this cry out to God. He says, "Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be likened to them that go down into the pit," which we read about this morning in Sunday school class. "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me," or "make me alive, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble." Brethren, this is an incredibly appropriate prayer that David is praying to God in light of what we're talking about tonight. Doing the work of God. This lesson is not about avoiding evil, although that is certainly an incredibly important part of the Christian walk. is avoiding evil, staying away from that which is wrong. But brethren, this lesson is about doing good. Doing good. Doing good works. Being ready to every good work. Being involved in doing the Lord's work. Christianity is more than a list of don'ts. It's also a list of do's. And it's more than just a list. It's really a life of being. A life of being. You know, you can train a dog to sit up. We were working on Ashley's little dog this afternoon. He'll sit for a treat, but trying to get him now to sit up and beg for a treat. I know it's probably not nice to make a little animal do that, but it was bacon treats, so it's worth it. Okay? It's worth it. Bacon is one of God's greatest gifts. Okay? But brethren, here's the thing. Little dogs can be trained, and people can be trained. And you can get people to go through the motions, but only for a little while. Only for a little while. They won't keep doing it. They can go through a list of do's and don'ts, but unless it becomes more than that, unless it is about becoming something, being something, then a list of do's and don'ts doesn't get the job done. So we have to start with our personal relationship with God, our personal growth. As Peter pointed out with the Christian graces in 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 8, our personal growth and our personal development, becoming more like Jesus. You know what's going to happen? If you grow as a child of God, if you get closer to God and closer to becoming more like Jesus, it's going to be so much easier for you to take a chance and to do something without knowing for sure the best way to do it. It's going to be, you're going to be more willing to do something you've maybe never done before, but you know it's the right thing to do. You're going to be more willing to do it the closer you get to God. In talking with Tommy and Ashley last week before their wedding, I was giving them some counsel regarding marriage and about how to really build a strong relationship with each other. And I do this illustration with any married couple that I counsel with. I took a Bible and I just laid it on my desk. We'll pretend this song book is a Bible. And I had, you know, Ashley stand over there and Tommy stand over there. And I said, you may think that you can get closer to each other by just simply walking toward each other, but it won't work. It won't work. Marriage must involve God. So I just had them physically just walk toward that Bible. And of course, as they walked toward the Bible, the obvious point was they got right beside each other by the time they got to the Bible. And the key to this is you want to be close to your brethren. You don't just build a friendship. You don't just build a marriage. You don't just build a relationship with people. You develop and deepen your relationship with God. And the closer that you get to God and the closer I get to God, then the closer we get to one another. Does that not fly? Won't that work? It makes sense, doesn't it? And so that's what I'm talking about here is personal growth. The closer we get to God, the closer we'll get to one another. And of course, our relationship with our fellow man is about helping him find his way to heaven too. And so it must be about saving souls. As James 5, 19 and 20 makes abundantly clear that when we turn a sinner from the error of his way, when we turn a sinner to the truth from the error of his way, we're saving a soul from death and hiding a multitude of sins hidden by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so what a great blessing that is when we can do that for somebody. Help them get ready to go to heaven. So saving souls is a very important part of our life. Benevolent work, helping those in need, helping those who truly have a need. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble. Now listen, to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble. This doesn't simply mean go by and wish them well. To visit them in their trouble means to help them in their time of trouble, in their time of need. And, of course, to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. That's what pure religion is by God's definition. And of course, Galatians 6:10, we cited a moment ago, therefore as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So we look for opportunities to do good. And then of course there is the matter of our example, of the consistent life before the world, letting people see us. Now everybody needs to listen close to this, and I mean every one of you, every one of you. Our example before the world must be maintained. Every one of us, our example must be maintained. We must make sure we present Christ when we open our mouth. If I speak a word, let it be something that's going to bring glory to God, not glory to the devil. If I do something, let it be something that's going to bring glory to God, not glory to the devil. If I am involved in some activity, let it be something that's going to bring glory to God and not glory to the devil. And too many times, we are inconsistent in our example. And we're delivering a message to people. This is not important to me. Do you know why so many, and I'm sorry if I'm stepping on toes, I'm so sorry. It's not always this case that I'm about to say. But do you know why so many no longer come to church here? Do you know why so many grow up and move away? Do you know why, and never come back? Do you know why so many left this congregation and have not returned? Because it did not seem as important to those that they were watching as it should have been. The people that they looked to, for example, it may or may not have been their parents. It may have been a peer. It may have been somebody they were associated with. It may have been one of the elders or the preacher or one of the deacons. It may have been their Bible class teacher. It may have been just a person they sat with in the pew. And it certainly could have been mom and dad. But many of the people that no longer come here are not here because they did not see in the people they looked to the example that they needed to see. And this is one of the harsh realities of life, is people look to us, and if we're not living a consistent example of what a Christian is, we will let them down. And so we must maintain a consistent example of what a Christian is supposed to be. That is so essential. Titus 2:11, in all things show yourself to be a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing integrity and reverence and uncorruptibility. Be a good example before everyone. In Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Be like Paul in the attitude, in the actions, as he tried to be like Jesus. And then, of course, there's the matter of teaching. We have a vacation Bible school coming up. Now, we have some folks that want to teach, and I'm proud of you. That's great. We have some folks that can teach that haven't signed up. You need to sign up. You need to fill the gaps. But we are responsible for sharing the gospel with people. We're responsible for teaching children and teaching our brothers and sisters and teaching friends and neighbors. And whether you do it in an official class or whether you do it at your kitchen table with a glass of tea, it makes no difference. Do it. Just do it. But you got to know before you can show. And if you don't know what to teach, then it's a big mistake to teach. Listen, listen, listen. If you don't know it, you don't need to try to teach it because you'll end up teaching it wrong. That's why we have to study. That's probably Bernice's favorite scripture. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We've got to study it. We've got to know it before we can show it. And so it's essential that we prepare ourselves, but we still need to prepare ourselves to teach. Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine and continue in them, meaning live it and share it. But you got to learn it so that you can live it, and you got to learn it so you can share it. Continue in them, for in doing this you will both save yourself and those who hear you. So how do we get this done? Let's wrap this up. How do we get this done? How do we do these things that we've mentioned here? You know, the Lord expects this church to be involved in three areas of work, and that is evangelism, edification, and benevolence. Those are the three areas that this church is involved in. The church all over the world is to be involved in these three areas. Evangelism is our mission work, and our local outreach is we try to bring lost men to Jesus. Edification is where we try to keep people in the ship. And benevolence is where we're trying to get their attention so that we can bring them to Christ. And of course, the ultimate goal is to help them get ready to go to heaven. The intermediate goal is to help them through their time of need. But ultimately, the purpose of that is not simply a social gospel, trying to help hungry people because they're hungry, but trying to help hungry people because it's an opportunity for us to teach them about Jesus. And so that's why we're to do that. That's the reason for it. And if we leave any of that out, then we have failed in that. So how we get this done? Somebody you can sit and wait. Wait for the Lord to give you an opportunity. It won't work. Somebody says, let somebody else do it. That way, if it isn't done right, you can't blame me. Yeah, well, I asked myself, why doesn't somebody do something? And then I realized that I'm somebody. And so I need to do it myself. And so do we all. So do we all. There are two ways to do God's work, individually and collectively. Briefly, individually, you use the talents and opportunities that God gives you. In Mark 13:34, Jesus gave every man his work to do. Every man had his work to do. And he has given you your work to do. Somebody says, I don't know enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm too shy. All that may be true, but what did Paul say in Galatians 2:20? It ain't me. Can I paraphrase? It ain't me. It's Christ working in me. That's what Paul says. Listen to the passage. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It ain't me. It's Christ working in me. But I've got to be his vessel. I've got to be his hands and his feet, his eyes and his ears and his mouth. He's working in me. And so he gives me a command to do good. He gives me a command to forgive. He gives me a command to be kind and compassionate. He gives me a command to teach and to encourage, to lift up the fallen, to hold up the hands of those that are serving. He gives me commands to do his will, and he gives me the way to do it, because it's not me. It's Christ in me. And if I'm not willing to let Jesus work through me, then I am hindering his work instead of helping his work. I'm limiting the effect that Jesus can have on a lost world if I do not allow him to work through me. The bottom line, if you don't love, you'll find an excuse. But if you do love, you'll find a way. Jesus said, I am the way. He is our strength. He is our wisdom. He will be with us and help us in every situation. We simply must trust and then obey. That's individually. Collectively, work within congregational programs. I've heard so many wonderful comments about the Brothers Keeper program. Folks, I am just so proud of you. I'm so proud of this church and those of you who have worked in this, have reached out, have been involved, have helped people, have reached out and gotten to know folks within this congregation. I'm so proud of you for the efforts that you're making. And it is working and it is having a positive effect. And I want to encourage you, if you've not been involved in it, get involved. This next Sunday night, we'll have the graduation party. We'll also have cards out here. Take a card and go see somebody that you haven't gotten to know well. Take a card and go see them. Take supper to them. Go by Whit's Barbecue or KFC and take supper to their house and say, hey, I want to bring supper and eat with you. Not just take it and drop it off. There's no real fellowship there, just taking it and dropping it off. We do that for funerals. We do that for other things. But no, I'm talking about take supper to them and eat with them. Or take them out to dinner. And you say, but my finances won't allow me to do that. Then just invite them and say, look, you know, let's go to dinner, Dutch treat, and just have some fun. Or let's go get an ice cream cone and sit and talk a while. You can do any number of things. Go sit at the duck pond on a dry night. and just sit and visit and get to know each other a little better. But there's so much that we can do to reach out to others that we don't know. And it does make a difference. The jail ministry. 14 people from Tanner got their pictures made by the police and now have a card, a little blue card in your wallet that were handed out today. People that are working in the jail ministry from the Tanner congregation. You just, you know, Melvis, I know that just gives you such joy because you're the one who really got this thing started. And I'm just so proud of you guys. And I'm so proud of every one of you that are involved in this jail ministry. It is a great outreach. Now, I know the results are not really promising. We've baptized hundreds over there. How many of them are living right before the Lord? We don't know. How many of them are going to make it to heaven? We don't know. But then we don't know when we teach and baptize anybody, anytime, anywhere. We don't know. That's not our business. It is our business to reach out, to follow up, to do our best to try to help people, but it's not our job to determine who is and who isn't going to make it. It's our job to preach the gospel, and that's what we're doing. And I'm just pleased with that as I can be. We have Bible courses, and so many of our teachers are overloaded. We have Bible courses from the jail. We have some that have come in from the house to house, heart to heart. We have some World Bible School courses that are being offered. Folks, we need Bible class teachers. And then in July of this year, I think it's July, the World English Institute is going to have a representative here on a Sunday morning. And during Sunday school, he's going to tell us about the opportunity that we have. It will cost us no money at all. He's just looking for people to teach Bible courses, online Bible courses, very, very simple Bible courses. And so that's something that you can do. And if you have questions about that, you can talk to Melvis because he knows our Bible course program. He's the one that's handling that. So you talk to him and you'll be blessed by simply answering questions. You have grading key, answering questions, responding. And if you don't know an answer, you know, Henry knows everything. So just take he don't know everything. He don't even think he knows everything. Paulette thinks he knows everything, but he don't think he knows everything. But no, he knows lots of Bible, okay? Quentin over there knows lots of Bible. Danny Dodson, Richard Chandler, Harold McKee. I'm going to mess around and hurt somebody's feelings if I don't call your name. I know some Bible, so you can let any of us know, and we'll be glad to help you if there's a question you're not sure how to answer. But you can do this. You can teach Bible classes. Scott is always needing teachers. Every quarter, Scott, do you know why Scott doesn't have more hair? It's because he's been deacon over education for so long. That's what it is. Scott, you would have had a head of hair like Elvis if you had had teachers lined up. But no! He's had to beg for teachers every quarter. Man, make his life easier. Get out there and sign up to teach. And if you haven't done it in years, it's time for you to get back in the saddle. Teach. We need you. We need you. We all need to be involved. There's so many things we can do. So many things we can do. People are dying without Jesus. Others are becoming discouraged and walking away from Christ and His church. And we cannot let that happen. Not without trying. Not without standing on the stump one more time and begging them, please don't go. Come back and let's work this out. What can I do? That's the question I ask you to ask yourself tonight. What are you willing to do? And what are you going to do? If there's anything that stands between you and the Lord this evening, we invite and encourage you to make things right with Him. If you're not a Christian, you need to obey the gospel. If you're already a child of God but you've not been faithful, you need to rededicate your life to Him. If there's any sin standing between you and salvation, deal with it tonight. Let us help you if you need us. Come if you need to, as together we stand and sing. With transition, naught of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hope to God's unchanging hand. Hope to His hand. To God's unchanging hand. Why don't you hold to His hand? To God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. When your journey is completed, to God you have been true, fair and bright the home in glory. Your enraptured soul will view. Hold to His hand, to God's unchanging hand. Why don't you hold to His hand, to God's unchanging hand? Build your hopes on things eternal. Will you hold to God's unchanging hand?
Please be seated. Lord's Supper is left prepared in the room behind the baptistry. You'll exit through either one of these doors. Someone will be there to serve you and show you where to go. We sing the first stanza of number 716. 716. Walking alone at eve and viewing the skies afar, bidding the darkness come to welcome each silver star, I have a great delight in the wonderful scenes above. God in His power and might is showing His truth and love. Oh, for a home with God, a place in His courts to rest, sure in a safe abode with Jesus and the